Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Diane Murray Ward, your host on Faceted Gems. We're listening to Brian Snow. Agreeing to be a guest on Faceted Gems. Patrice, please tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure, and I'm happy to be here and with you and your audience tonight. I am a communications specialist, I should say. I started my traditional career working in corporate public relations that evolved into a specialty of my own business of doing sports and marketing PR. And then yet another evolution took me into a new niche of career planning and teaching in special education. And it's these interests that of both the career counseling and the teaching in adult education that I'd like to talk a little bit about, I guess, today.
Sure. I mean, you do have, you're being very, very modest. You do have an extensive... Yes, you are. You have an extensive marketing background, media relations. You are an adjunct at quite a few colleges.
Yes.
You've done life coaching and career development. You've had people help individuals get certification in those areas. And in the whole process of redefining yourself, what's wonderful is that you're willing to share that journey with other people, which is what Faceted Gems tries to promote, is that the fact that people can reinvent themselves and that there are so many skills and talents that we have that, you know, we can encourage each other and promote each other and help each other realize those goals. But the individual has to feel that they can do it, and they can do it when they think about and sit down and make a list of all the attributes and skills that they have. And I think the fact that you've been able to work with such a diversity of companies, from NBC, you know, the Marine Corps, I mean, a whole litany of different places, it tells me that kind of flexibility and personality that you have just lends itself to so many different seemingly diverse companies, agencies,
yeah.
venues.
Yeah.
How are you able to do that, or is that just innately you?
I think it twofold. I mean, I thank you, you know, for those accolades. But, you know, the first thing I wanted to just kind of mention that I think we all have a diversity of skills. And a lot of us sometimes have skills for which we're not paid. And I think sometimes when people are looking to make transition, they underestimate those things that they do for friends and family, things that they've done all their life that basically have enabled them to be really great at organizing or really great at planning, and that they kind of sell themselves short. And when they're looking to transition, the biggest thing I find is people kind of forget that. With respect to the diversity in terms of my career, I think I learned really early on, starting the foundation of my career in an agency environment, in a PR agency / advertising agency environment, that the client was 100% of the focus, and that whatever it took, however it needed to be done, that the goal should always be to not only meet the client's expectation, but to exceed it. And I think it's, for lack of a better word, that customer service type focus is how I was kind of wired, and that allowed me to then mold myself to other clients. And at the end of the day, I think all marketing, and successful marketing at least, is your ability to understand your target audience. And if that target audience...
How did you become aware that you had that skill, that you were able to do that, though? As a child, was it in school, was it...
Yeah.
When did you first realize you have a propensity for that, that you can do that?
I think probably was in school. I mean, it just in terms of really being a good listener, I think, that I realized really on. I mean, I can look back even to grade school and whether it would be mm-hmm. to kind of be the peacemaker among two friends in the schoolyard,
okay.
you know, of trying to be the interpreter of, well, no, she didn't mean this, and this is what I think she really wanted to say, and kind of brokering that failed communication to just... really, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and I'll just quickly say that there's a woman by the name of Rebecca Maddox. She wrote a book called Ink Your Dreams, INC as an incorporate. And one of the things, her premise is that she says a lot of things that sometimes that we are meant to do, our passion, the thing that we're really good at, are sometimes the things that we were teased at as a child. And when I thought about that and I said, okay, what was I teased at as a child? What was kind of the thing? It was talking. Unfortunately, Patrice, you know, would you like to share that with the rest of the class? Patrice, would you, you know, like to kind of, but on some level, I guess innately, the interest, the ability to communicate, to understand, and to realize that other people didn't have the same ability to communicate and express themselves, I did realize, I guess, relatively early on. And I analogously say I believe everyone has something else that they have done innately since childhood that they do just instinctively.
Right. Right. There are other guests that have had those same similar sentiments, that they realize that from childhood, or other people have noticed that in them, that they
yes.
have a certain skill or a certain trait, and they hadn't even thought about it. It was just they were just acting themselves. They were just being themselves. And sometimes other people bring to your attention those talents or skills that you just take for granted because you're the one doing it. And sometimes those are the individuals that will say, you know what, you're really good at, like you said, being a negotiator, being a speaker, being someone who can broker. You know, I'm going to see if your resume at some point in time is going to expand to United Nations, but we'll talk about that another time. another time. The transferable skills, I mean, being able to listen is a major major advantage. That is one of the things that people don't do well, I find.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. And, what is the saying? You know, we have two ears and one mouth, you know, supposed to listen twice as much as we speak, but yet it doesn't happen for most of us.
Are you still evolving?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that is part of why my career has been so uniquely layered, and that is by design, is that I am evolving, trying to not put myself or confine myself under one banner or one label or one box. I think that's important for many people to do. I think the paradigm of, you know, going to school for one career or area or specialty, doing that for 30 years, retiring and, you know, kind of going off to, you know, walk the beach is really, that no longer exists. And I think that to be open to having multiple careers and doing different things is now being more embraced, and it's something in which I'm trying to kind of, you know, to live, to be able to carve out different aspects, different things that I want to still become involved in, different things that I want to learn. And I guess it's kind of a way of life as well as a way to guide my career, but definitely still evolving.
And how do you help people come to the realization that there are other ways that they can express those talents and skills that they have? How do you do that?
Yeah, one of the things that I guess somewhat bridged my interest in career counseling and teaching was I had an idea to teach a class called Turning Your Passion into Your Profession. And basically, as I describe this class to others, I've been teaching it for almost a decade, and it's kind of the, how do you figure out what you want to be when you grow up, and to develop a plan doing it. And it's really about, you know, helping people to connect to what we were talking about earlier, that thing that everyone does naturally, the thing that people have been telling us for years we are so good at or we are so skilled at, and to really brainstorm through a creative process the wide range of options that you know, basically could open up for one. And for a specific example, many people can say, okay, well, I love books, I love writing. And, you know, the obvious career is, okay, well, you'll become an author, you'll become a writer. But I guess that is only really going to be the reality for a certain number of people, but that there are literally from A to Z in terms of options to be explored, non-traditional things that would give someone the ability to follow through on their love and their passion for writing. So that is what one thing in terms of the class. The other thing on a more just informal basis is I'm always just encouraging people to, you know, to just take an inventory and to, you know, make sure that their resumes are updated, to make sure that, again, that they count and give credit to skills and experiences that they've had outside of traditional jobs. And again, I think this is a really big one and why I'm a big proponent of a biography as a professional tool, is that a biography allows you to tell your story, to tell your experiences, to explain and paint the picture of the many things that you've done and learned without having the confines of a traditional chronological resume of, in this job, I had this title, I did this work. Because quite honestly, we're not that linear, and especially when one is trying to transition into something new, the hardest thing I think people find is, well, I don't have experience in that area. And what I often find in counseling and working with clients, working with students directly, is that they do have the experience. It's just untraditional, non-traditional, I should say, and it's under a different banner. So it's helping people to, you know, really kind of see that they are qualified to do that new thing that they want to do. And the last piece is just really giving people some encouragement and the pep talk and the thing that I think we all need at different times in life to, you know, be told that they can do it, and to help them map out the plan to, you know, to make that transition. A lot of that involves simply volunteering or offering to work for free. You know, the best way I think anybody can get experience in terms of doing something new, when they say, oh, I don't have experience, call someone you know who does what you like to do and offer to shadow them for a day, offer to work for a weekend, offer to, you know, to do that as a way of building up experience, and or reach out to friends and family that, you know, may need your services. If you want to become an event planner, you have a cousin that's planning a wedding with 500 people, that's an event. So because it's your cousin and you haven't necessarily been paid to do it, does not mean that you are any less of an event planner if you really throw yourself into that project and immerse yourself in the experience. That is something which could be leveraged.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't really know what a job is. They may read about it, they may research it, but once you do it, and like you said, you know, it's the shadowing and maybe being mentored by someone. When you actually do it, then you're really getting a better idea of what the job actually entails. A lot of jobs may look kind of glamorous, or they seem that, you know, this I could do this, or you see something on TV or something kind of stylized. But you don't really know what the job is, and I think it's wonderful that you mentioned volunteering, because there's so much experience that comes from volunteering. I remember there was a time when you didn't even put down that you volunteered on resumes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I also agree with you. When you write more in terms of a biography of yourself, sometimes people forget some of the really great, fantastic experiences and things that they've done. And again, it reinforces their own facets, what they've done and what they almost take for granted and
Absolutely.
Don't realize that is, you know, hey, that's really fantastic. When you hear people talk about what they've done rather than look at, you know, just a straightforward resume, you say, oh, my goodness, you know, how come that's not in there? Well, they don't know how to put it in there. Is that really important? I find that really it's fascinating. And then you find that's empowering to a lot of people as well, because they're now taking stock of what they – and they need – people need to take more credit for the experience that they've had. And they may have come across individuals that said, oh, that's not important, take that out. And
yeah.
then you come across others who will say, are you kidding me? That's fantastic. Many people don't do that. Many people haven't had that experience. Like, could you elaborate on that? And there's a whole other aspect to the individual that really comes to light. And I know for myself, I'm so happy that I know Neil Blake. We are listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Diane Murray Ward, and it's because we're on Neil Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, that we have this opportunity to share with you Faceted Gems. My host this evening is Patrice Glenn. Patrice, I see how you encourage others. I mean, it's obvious that your class is one that people, I would think, go away really thinking about how everything that you've said applies to them individually, and how there's so much food for thought in those kind of open-ended scenarios you're leaving, you know, you devise. I see that. Who inspired you to do this kind of work?
I mean, I guess it's interesting. The first part of that answer is really myself, and by that I mean I now teach this class, you know, at NYU as a result of a class that I would have loved to have taken but couldn't find. And I share that way because I think there's so many things in life that are born, that are created, that have evolved out of a lack of someone's experience, and that it was going through a certain part in my life, period of my life, where I really was in transition, wanting to kind of figure out what's next, how do I, you know, map out the plan, what am I passionate about, what do I want to, you know, why am I here on the planet, what do I want to do, and although there were books, certainly of the self-help genre, there was no real class that would kind of walk me through the steps. So in a sense, I created what I wished I had had.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the inspiration, the lack of it. And then I think of just, you know, little snippets of different profiles of things I may have seen on TV or different shows or of individuals who were just kind of living a very authentic and a fulfilled life. And the one common denominator of these people were all saying they do what they love. It's not like working. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And trying to really kind of ask myself, well, what is that question? What's that thing that if I did it every day, all day, and maybe even wasn't paid for it or not paid well for it, what would I still love to do? And it's basically this. It's helping to connect other people with their passion about, because in somewhat of a perhaps idealistic or naive way, I do believe that the world would be such a different planet if more of us had the opportunity to live a life and to do what it is that we're good at and what we enjoy.
Yes. Yes. And I know we've had other guests who have said, you know, they did a particular job because they knew that financially they could get work in that particular area. But it wasn't really what they loved to do, but they did the 9-to-5, whatever. And they knew that they could do this, they did it, but it really wasn't their passion. It really wasn't what they were interested in doing, but they had to pay the bills. They had to live, they had to eat, they had to sleep, they had to have shelter. And then they got to a certain point in their life where they were able to say, you know what, if I don't do it now, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, when was I going to do it? And at some point, a switch went on and said, okay, I think I can manage this now. And even though, and we've had guests that have said, you know, I wasn't really encouraged. People thought I was crazy. People say, no, don't do that. You can't do that. You're not going to survive on that.
Mm-hmm.
Their passion and their belief in themselves were such that they got them over the hump. Now, they also made it very clear it's not a very easy transition to make necessarily. It also depends
right.
on how many what responsibilities you have and this, that, and the other, and just where you may happen to be at that stage in your life, if you've saved, if you haven't saved, if you're living with whatever, whatever, and your situation might dictate what you want to do. But at some point, people decide, this is what I want to do, and I have to try it now.
Yeah.
That's why encouragement is a good thing, but then when reality hits you in the face, you say, you know what? And I guess one of my responses would be, and I'd like to know what yours is, well, then do it on a small basis first.
Exactly.
Test the waters. Mm-hmm. Does that seem like a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. And I think that's the reality, because I think sometimes we can procrastinate and, you know, thinking I'm just waiting until I can have, you know, $10,000 saved and this ability of time and, you know, be free to jump into something. And, you know, a lot of times that just doesn't happen. But there's nothing wrong with having a 9-to-5 job that pays the bills and a part-time endeavor or venture that, you know, fulfills a passion. And of being able that over time you can then redistribute that percentage. So if the majority, if it's, you know, 70% is in terms of the 9-to-5 job that pays the check every 2 weeks, and 30% in terms of what's done kind of on downtime and weekends and evenings and holidays or vacation time, and then over time that allocation can be can balance out. And the other thing that I wanted to just mention, which I think that you raise is a very good point, is just I'm always just cautioning people to that want to live their dream and fulfill something that they're trying to do is be very wary of the naysayers. You know, the people that tell you that you can't do that, that you won't be successful. I mean, we've all encountered them, and believe me, I encountered many, you know, going out on my own. And I just want people to really understand that 9 out of 10 times, that individual is simply speaking about fear they have in their own life, and it really has nothing to do with you. And the fact is I had people quote me up and down, oh, the first year of business, you'll never make any money. My first year in business was my most successful. You know, you're not going to be, you know, in terms of, oh, the other thing of the scale and scope of the business. Oh, you have to have office space. You need to have a conference room. You need to have a full-time assistant. You need to have I don't need to have anything except the things that I determine to allow me to be professional and effective. And if right. at the beginning of my business, if that was effective to work out of my home and not have the expenditure of office space, then that worked for me. And if it was seamless and unimportant to my clients, that's all that matters, not someone else's perspective. So I still am almost dumbfounded by some of the really strange, ranging down to downright mean comments that people said to me, and I certainly know have said to others. And what I just encourage people to say is, when you hear it, you know, hear it for what it is. That's that person's fear with their own self, that they are basically saying that they don't have the courage, they don't have the drive to do what you're doing. And now, granted, everybody needs to have caution, everyone needs to have a sounding sure. board, but, you know, again, 9 out of 10, this is not about an individual's ability to succeed. It's about somebody else's fear and trying to kind of squelch the fire of somebody's dream.
Right. I think that one of the things that also helps, and you mentioned it, is when you can find someone to that you can mentor behind. And
yeah.
I know I've had mentors that haven't even known they were my mentors, but just because I liked the way they operated, the way they handled themselves, the way they carried themselves, how they were able to respond to situations, and I found that very, very helpful. Modeling myself at certain aspects of the way they handle themselves, and I think that's very, very important. Again, along with volunteerism, as you said before, what would you say would be the first step for someone who is interested in pursuing maybe another aspect? I know you said, you know, making that list, you know, I guess that would be the first step. Would you agree?
Yeah, the first step is, I guess, some self-actualization, some mm-hmm. type of inventory, some type of list. And then to try to find some individuals, you know, at least 3 people who tend to be kind of positive, the cheerleaders in your life, and
right.
to try to get some feedback from them. And then I think it's just an issue of picking one thing. I don't, you know, if there's a list of 5 things that an individual says, I'm really interested in these 5 things. I like antiques. I like writing. I really, you know, would love an opportunity to kind of do something in home design and, you know, and all of these things. It's not necessarily that you have to combine them, but it's just pick one and start with that. And I think that, you know, that's the great thing about life is that, you know, if you pick something and you work it through and you realize, this isn't really for me or this isn't really what I thought it was, and then you have the ability to kind of pull the plug on it and then move on to something else if it's not right. But just because you picked one thing doesn't mean that another point in time you can't pick another thing. And to your point about, I think, a mentor as helping to start you in the process. And I agree 100% with what you're saying.
You are the mentor that everyone needs to find. And that's why at NYU,
yes,
in your class, Patrice Glenn is the person. I'm sorry, but I have to end. You know, you said you talked. You talked. You talked in school. You talked, man. And I'm so blessed and so happy I have you. Lee, love everyone. Empower, assist when you can. Dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you, Patrice, for being on Faceted Gems.
You're so welcome. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.